Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back. I am Aaron Chadbourne sitting in for Grace. Donald Trump is giving a live press conference. Do we have the ability to listen into it, Jared? Is that something we can do? Let's go and hear what Donald Trump is saying in the courthouse right now.
The October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up, and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoron. He ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's a fraudulent valuator.
I think we can cut it there, but I think, you know, this really illustrates how the election is going to go. It's going to be Donald Trump in courtrooms, and then he's going to be able to step out because the press is all watching him, and then he'll be able to talk about it. And did you notice what he said? And he started out talking about how Biden and his thugs in the courts are after him, but he's really going to be able to use this to contrast himself to Joe Biden. He said, if I were still president, you wouldn't have what's going on in Ukraine. You wouldn't have what's going on in Israel. And I do think it would be different. And I think that him being in the spotlight is going to continue to give him a platform, and maybe it makes it easier for him. They think it's going to keep him from campaigning, but instead it brings the media to him. Like we said earlier, he's just a step outside. I guess I don't know where he's doing these remarks, though, because he has American flags behind him, so he must have left. Is he back at Trump Tower? But so he goes to the courthouse, and now he's standing. He's able to do it. There's slightly better audio than there was earlier when he was shouting across the street to the cameras. But this is going to be how it really plays out from now through November, is that we're going to see... Well, I don't know what we'll see from Joe Biden, right? Because Biden, is he actually going to campaign, or is he going to do what he did last time and they're just going to keep him out of view? I mean, that could be what they do. Like, they might not want him out there at all. So Trump is going to have to be basically doing what he's doing now, coming out and making campaign appearances outside of his courtrooms. And then I guess town halls, or the big things that he does, the big rally. He's been doing rallies. He fly to them at night. I mean, that's like a possibility in how he does it. But this is really going to be how he campaigns. And he's going to keep showcasing how they're coming after him and what they're doing. Now, on this hush money case, which, again, I think what the charges are for the fact that he tried to deduct the payments to Stormy Daniels as a tax deduction, and not pay taxes on the fact that he had to pay those fees. So they're saying, nope, that was against tax law. So we're going to throw the book at you for that. So for that case, I mean, it's ridiculousness. All of it is ridiculous, but it gives him the opportunity to continue to say, they're coming after me like they wouldn't come after anyone. They're trying to seize my assets. It's just, I don't know. Like, it just makes the whole system seem like a joke and like it's all being politicized. So I think it plays into his hand. I think it strengthens him. I think it makes him more likely to win. And I mean, I think Americans aren't falling for it at the end of the day. But if you're Joe Biden, like, are you sitting there thinking that this is playing well for you? Like, you know, Joe Biden is watching this, right? Even though they say he isn't. Do you think when he sits and watches this, he says, oh yeah, we're really doing it now. Like, we've really got him where we want him. Like, is that what you think? Like, what do you think, Jared? Do you think Joe Biden thinks is going well for them?
I don't. I mean, I suppose the people around him are probably telling him that, but he, deep down in his most clear moments that he gets every couple of weeks, has to think this is not good. Like, what are we doing?
But maybe, like, they're in this cocoon, in this bubble, where they think it's showcasing that Donald Trump is the corrupt one, and they're missing that the more of this that you do, the more it makes people distrust the system. So you have this case now, the hush money case. It's scheduled for April 15th. And that's when they're going to begin jury selection. Do you think that there's a jury in Manhattan that's going to be fair to Donald Trump? I mean, what were the election results in Manhattan versus the rest of the country? You're most likely to be picking from a pool of jurors that already voted for Joe Biden, for Hillary Clinton, and that's who we're going to let adjudicate whether he's guilty or not. Now, it's a civil case. It's not a criminal case on that one. So on that one, I guess you only need you don't need a unanimous ruling, I don't think, from the jurors. I think it's you need a majority. And that standard is a preponderance of the evidence, not beyond a reasonable doubt. So you've lowered the threshold, you lowered the numbers, but you couldn't pay me enough. I had to report for jury duty selection. I did not get selected. I'm sure you're shocked. But can you imagine, you couldn't pay me enough to want to be a juror against Donald Trump, to be a juror in this Trump case and have to go through it. But that being said, people on the far left are salivating. Don't you think they're like, oh my gosh, this is the opportunity. Pick me. I want to be a juror. That must be how they're behaving. And it's because they think this is their opportunity to finally get him. And I think Trump's right when he describes this as election interference. Let's go ahead. Play cut 12.
This is a case that could have been brought 3.5 years ago. And now they're fighting over days because they want to try and do it during the election. This is election interference. That's all it is. Election interference. And it's a disgrace. We'll obviously be appealing. But this is a pure case of voter intimidation and election interference. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. This case could have been brought by the DA, but they didn't want to bring it because they said they have no case. And then they bring it anyway. As you know, D.A. Bragg did not want to bring this case. He was forced into it for outside reasons, and it's a disgrace that it can happen. But this was a case that could have been brought 3.5 years ago, and they decide to wait now, just during the election, so that I won't be able to campaign. I will be appealing this. On the other decision, it will be my honor to post. And we'll post whatever is necessary, whether it be cash or security or bonds.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So we'll cut it there. But I mean, he's still talking now. He's talking about law and order at the border. But at the end of the day, that is exactly, this is all campaign strategy. This is all political. The timing is political. The charges are political. Everything about it is wanting to seize his assets and take them away to prevent him from being able to run his business. All of it smacks of retaliation. All of it smacks of political interference. And that's not the country that we grew up in. That's not what America used to be able to stand for. We would see another country going through this where the opposition to the, if we saw a country where someone running for president against the incumbent president were being prosecuted in this way, we would say that it's a banana republic. We wouldn't stand for it. But when it happens here, because it's Donald Trump, the other side has convinced themselves that anything is okay if it's against Donald Trump. They have the Trump derangement syndrome, and that's what's going on here. So I think it's going to backfire. I think, if you miss the news, they've reduced the amount of money that Trump has to post from $454 million to $175 million, which $175 million is still a lot of money. But Trump already did the work and said, hey, I can come up with that. I just can't come up with $500 million on a moment's notice. And I think that's fine. I think putting up a bond to appeal so it's not frivolous, so that you're securing the payment if you are found guilty. It's why the realtor settlement last week, that was all in the news. The realtors, they were told that they had to post a bond for $5 billion. And they said, we don't have $5 billion. They said, well, I guess you can't appeal. And so they settled. This is how the legal system can be used and weaponized, and it's how the left is trying to do it with Donald Trump. I do think, though, I have to imagine that Letitia James spent all weekend just dreaming about the outfit she was going to wear to stand in front of Trump Tower, to put a ceremonial chain on it, to take her pictures next to the golden toilets in the penthouse. I mean, maybe she was going to go to the golf course in New Jersey, and she was going to, I know that she wanted the optics. She wanted to be in charge. And now he's going to put up the bond. And I bet he's going to have success on the appeal. Now, they ended up staying the implementation of most of the order, except for putting in someone to monitor, like someone independent auditor. Like, they're going to have some checks and more people being able to see what's going on in the company. But in the meantime, Trump's going to be able to continue to run his company. The family is going to be able to run it. They're not going to have to pay. I hate when these things come out 11th hour, like it was all set to happen. But again, I just would love to hear Letitia James. I wish we could have had the before and after to hear what she was planning to do today, if she got to go enforce it and she got to start seizing assets. You know she had the filings already and prepared, and she was ready, set to do it. I hope people are freedom of access, freedom of information request filing and going to get those documents to see what she had ready to go had it not gone this way. But I would love to then hear the after and hear her reaction, because you know she's got to be disappointed. You know she's going to be crestfallen that she's not actually able to be the one that does it. All right, I think that's probably a good pausing point. We'll take some more of your calls when we come back. The phone number here on the Grace Curley Show is 844-500-4242. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace. And Jared, anything else we want to tell people about before we head to break?
Yeah, it's actually Nauset Beach Inn has just opened reservations for spring. I know it doesn't feel like it for you guys up there.
Ice storms were crazy. But you know what? I had a lot of friends who were out of town this weekend, and it's a great time to get out. Like, you know, spring, we have nothing to offer here in Maine. It's good to go stay someplace. And staying on the coast, I think, is a nice way it's an off-season time to enjoy it.
Yeah, and the Nauset Beach Inn is right on the coast. It is right on Nauset Beach. It's the only lodging inside the Cape Cod National Seashore, and it's one of the most tranquil places that I've ever stayed. My wife and I went down there. We loved it, especially in the spring, you know, the April, May. That's still kind of the off season before things really heat up for the summer, so you can enjoy a little bit more privacy than you normally would. The views are fantastic, whether you're walking along the beach or any of the hiking trails around there, or if you're just sitting in your room, looking out the giant picture windows, cozy by the fireplace. Nauset Beach Inn is the place to get away without having to go far away. And right now, you can book your April stay at the Nauset Beach Inn from $249.99 a night. That's $249.99 a night for April. And in May, the rates are from $259.99 a night. And don't delay, because these rooms go fast. Nauset Beach is pet-friendly, has a view from every room, and check-in is contactless. To reserve your ocean view room now, go to NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. I'll be sitting in for Grace all week while she enjoys a well-deserved spring break. I don't know where she is. I've been joking that she was going to visit Princess Kate, express her sympathies, and leave flowers. That's what I'm going with. I was going to say maybe she's at the Nauset Beach Inn, because she does love it there. But yeah, so we're back. We've been covering a lot of what's happening in today's news, one of which being this outcry at NBC News over Ronna McDaniel being hired and given a contract. I mean, I would have had more of an outrage if they hired Chris Christie, but just saying. But that brings us to today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. All right, Jared. What's today's poll question, and what are our answers thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which paid NBC News personality do you trust the least? Ronna McDaniel, Jen Psaki, Simone Sanders Townsend, Chuck Todd, Kristen Welker, or Brian Williams?
It's really a close call for me, because Jen Psaki, when she was White House press secretary, I would have said her, but I don't really listen to her now anymore. And like, I mean, she's paid to spell. I really think it's Chuck Todd, because Chuck Todd tries to pass himself off as I'm nonpartisan, I'm the voice of reason, but he's really so far in the tank. I go Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd is closing the gap now, but he's still in second place at 36%. Jen Psaki in the lead at 41%. Ronna McDaniel and Brian Williams are tied at 10%, and Simone Sanders Townsend and Kristen Welker are tied at 2%.
That's the thing. So, I mean, Brian Williams, they fired him for lying. Remember, like, he had NBC Nightly News, then they brought him back, and they were like, ah, that's fine. We don't care. Like, we'll just put him on MSNBC then. Like, that's their standard.
Hashtag integrity.
But Jared, here's a question for you. Do you, can you think of anyone, anyone that actually would want to see Ronna McDaniel on TV?
No.
Like, no Republicans are like, oh, yeah, like, Ronna, like, go represent us while they're, like, Republicans don't like her. And so, I don't know who, and I think it's this thing that, like, that at NBC, they were just like, we don't know any Republicans. Like, we've got to have one on. Like, who should, oh, Ronna's available. Like, let's lock her. Like, what were they thinking? Again, I think she's getting canned. I bet, do you think she'll make it? She might even, I would guess by the end of, it could even be by the end of this show, but probably by the end of Howie's show today, I think Ronna McDaniel is probably done. You think it'll take longer?
Yeah, I don't know the rules when the last paycheck needs to be there, but I think that's a pretty good bet that by tomorrow night she'll be off the network. But again, another Donald Trump success story. Trump fires her. She gets this big bag from them, and then she just goes out with the golden parachute. I mean, is there nothing this man doesn't do for other people?
He does. I mean, everyone's getting paid but him. He's answering questions now, too, which here's the thing I will tell you that I like about this. You know, we're waiting on Fox News right now. It says awaiting White House briefing. But the thing I like about the split screen between like Trump and Biden is Trump walks out twice, makes impromptu remarks, then goes and holds this long press conference. He's been going for, I don't know, since the top of the hour. So he's been going for a half hour. When was the last time you watched Biden be able to do this? To take questions, not from a prepared list of, oh, they told me I could call on Jeff and, oh, am I allowed? Oh, I'm not allowed. Okay, goodbye. Like, this is the thing. Believe whatever you want about Trump. Like him, don't like him, whatever. But he's showcasing here that at least he has the stamina. At least he has the mental wherewithal to stand for 30 minutes and do a press conference to take questions, to make statements. And he knows what he's talking about. And he does the Trump thing, right, where he rambles and all these different topics. But could you see Biden doing that? Could you see Biden shouting across to the press? Like, no. Like, I mean, he kind of laughs and he makes those weird remarks and then he kind of shuffles. But, I mean, it's just night and day. And I think it's going to continue to be a good comparison between Trump and Biden. Now he's outside. It was Trump Tower. See, so he left the courthouse, went to Trump Tower, gave his little press conference. Now he's outside of Trump Tower waving. And I really hope Letitia James is watching because she so desperately wanted this photo op of herself outside putting closed on Trump Tower, seizing it. And unfortunately, justice has prevailed and the appeals court has robbed her with that. I bet it would be a good, wouldn't you watch? So I would watch an HGTV spinoff, though. That's like Letitia James renovating Trump properties. Like that would be funny. But it's sad. It's sad because it's government power. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing government power weaponized against a political adversary. And it's done in such a brazen way. I said earlier in the show, and I stand by it, that I think that if they had done that today, the election would be over. If they had seized his property, the election would be over because everyone in America is outraged by it. I think people should be outraged by the ruling, first of all, where they say he inflated the values of his properties for the bank so that he could get bigger loans for them. The banks all said, yeah, we were happy to loan the money. We got it paid back. No problem here. I think the extra part is he was saying to the government, oh, no, tax us less, which everyone also does. So this is a very business unfriendly decision that everyone should be upset about. But if they had gone that extra step, seized his assets in order to fulfill their political vendetta, I think that is just so transparent that it would 100% election would be over today. I think it's the same phenomenon that when there was an opening for someone to run against Trump in the primary, the second they raided Mar-a-Lago, it was over. People rallied around him because they can't stand for the unfairness. People will put up with a lot, but that's where they draw the line. They draw the line when they see blatant unfairness and the government being weaponized in this way so boldly for political purposes. Because at the end of the day, they can't beat him at the election booth. They can't. If COVID hadn't happened, I think Trump would have won. I think because there was so much reliance on fear and on all of these different forms of voting, that they did. And Ronna McDaniel, when she was pressed again and again and again by Kristen Welker to say the election was fair, Ronna McDaniel was saying, oh, well, Joe Biden is the president. She's like, no, but you need to say it was fair. And she goes, well, I think there were problems. You can't say it was problems. It was fair. They pushed her. They did it. I don't know why people want to go on those shows anyway. I guess for the money. And I think Ronda McDaniel is going to get paid more not to be on the show than she was getting for it. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Yeah. You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option. But if I have to spend $500 million on a bond, I wouldn't have that option. I'd have to start selling things. I don't have to sell anything because it's a phenomenal company. Look, I built a phenomenal company. Someday they'll actually report that.
So you can tell Donald Trump has to have a little bit of fun now that he's being shown that it was ridiculous what they did, and how do you deny it? But I just don't even know. Like, it's so funny to me. If I were to tell you, like, it would be good news that he's putting up a $175 million bond, I mean, that doesn't sound like good news, but compared to $454 million, it's great news. So that's just the state of play that we're in. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace. I'll be here all week. And the other thing about Trump, like, I do like that he can take those questions. He's quick on his feet. There's none of this weird pauses and starts and stops and pivots and trailing off that you get with Grandpa Joe Biden all the time. Trump's able to just kind of answer questions, and he calls it like he sees it. He does. I mean, it's just such a sharp contrast. And I think you're going to continue to see that. By the way, did you hear, Jared, there was all this speculation about who Trump might pick as a running mate. Do you have a favorite? Do you think you know who it's going to be?
I have no clue, honestly. I mean, up until, I think, over the weekend, I was thinking that there was still a possibility of Mike Pence because Trump is just so unpredictable. I have no clue.
Pence is done. Yeah. But you know who I'm pretty sure it's not going to be? Marco Rubio.
What has this been
speculation that, like, Marco Rubio, like, and like they've been asking him, do you have the cut of Marco? I think it's cut 13.
I want to turn to politics. There was some reporting this week that you are possibly under consideration to be Donald Trump's running mate. I don't put a lot of stock in this reporting right now, or we're early, but you said it would be an honor to be offered a spot on his ticket. Really?
Yeah, I think anyone who's offered the opportunity to serve this country as vice president should be honored by the opportunity to do it if you're in public service. I'm in the Senate because I want to serve the country. Being vice president is an important way to serve the country. But I've also been clear, I've never talked to Donald Trump. I've never talked to anybody on his team or family or inner circle about vice president. That's a decision he's going to make. He has plenty of really good people to pick from.
He's not going to pick Marco Rubio. Someone asked me this morning, I was doing a hit filling in for Grace on WGAN, and Matt asked me, he said, oh, dude, I hear that Marco Rubio might be high on the list. I was like, I think Marco Rubio is high on his own supply. Like, there's no one that thinks that Marco Rubio is going to be vice president. I don't know why the people on ABC are asking him that question. I don't know if it's flattery. I'm sure it was the Rubio's people who put it out there. But Rubio, like, no, like, that's not, like, what does he bring? He's from Florida. Like what does he bring? He's Hispanic. Why would it be Rubio? It doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of the other, I like the Tulsi Gabbard speculation, but Rubio, like, no one was thinking that. No one thinks it's going to be Tim Scott. Like, there's possibility. I don't think anyone that has much of a competing persona. So, like, a Vivek, someone with a big, that likes the attention. I don't see that happening. Elise Stefanik, obviously you can tell she clearly wants it. But I don't know. I think she's too much of her own person. I don't think that's what Trump wants. I don't think he wants to be competing against his vice president. I think he wants a, like, Mike Pence-like character. Someone who, like, does, you know, can carry the water for the administration, make decisions, be competent, but isn't going to take away from his spotlight. So I don't know. But nobody thinks it's Marco Rubio. That funny, too, about Marco Rubio talking about being in the Senate. Remember when he ran for president and he declined to run for re-election to the Senate? He was like, no, I'm not running for the Senate. Senate's terrible. It's a waste of time. No one wants to do that job. And then they talked him into running for re-election. And, like, he's been there ever since. I mean, it just goes to show you that, like, these people that are career politicians that run for office and stay in office for the rest of their lives, they don't really have principles. They're not really serious people when it comes down to it. But I think Donald Trump tells you why he's running, and you certainly get a sense for that. Unlike Joe Biden, who's just running because he doesn't have anything else to do other than run for office, Donald Trump, you know, he could be running his businesses. He could be I don't know, now that he's been president and they're after him, I don't think I think he'd have to fight all these lawsuits. But he's running for a different reason, and I think that's what resonates with the American people. If you'd like to join the program, if you'd like to weigh in, phone number is 844-500-4242. Let's go and talk to Ron. Ron, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Good.
I was just wanted to quickly rattle off a couple of ideas. The financial stuff today is good news, I believe. That along with the Truth Social going public, the GoFundMe has over $2 million in it. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but also Tulsi Gabbard, that's who I would choose for VP.
And why is that, Ron? Why'd you pick her?
I think that she's just a genuine patriot. For me, I just can tell. And also, too, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. There's a lot of former Democrats that have gone on to be great Republicans, like Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump. And I feel that Tulsi Gabbard has the opportunity to... I feel that she's redeemed herself, whatever she has said or done as a Democrat. I think she's seen the light. But mainly what I wanted to say was thank you for bringing up COVID with regards to the election, because I believe that COVID was enough in and of itself to just mess with the psyche of the American electorate, feeling unsafe and uncertain. And I feel that we need to keep that forefront, because we are allowing the Democrats to say that Donald Trump mishandled the pandemic. But we need to bring up, there's enough evidence out there that the NIH and Dr. Fauci, they were involved with gain-of-function research, manipulating viruses, funding the Wuhan lab and everything like that. Personally, I believe that it was released. I don't think it was an accidental leak. I believe it was released. The timing of it, you know, they want us to believe there's a pandemic like that once every 100 years. Okay, that makes sense with the Spanish flu. But I'd like to see a timeline of all the other pandemics that fell exactly 100 years in length. So that's basically my main points.
Thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate it. I think the other thing, and I actually thought it was a good attack that DeSantis had early on Trump, is DeSantis was saying, look, in Florida, we handled the pandemic differently than other states, and also differently than Donald Trump did. Because who was it that put Anthony Fauci in such a powerful position? It was Donald Trump. So I actually hold Trump responsible for a lot of ways that it unfolded. And I think that had he made some other decisions. Now, I grant him that he's... when a public health emergency comes out, there were a lot of unknowns, you know, wanting to get information quickly. But instead, what they did is they allowed, not following the science, not following the data, they followed this COVID fear, and you weren't even allowed to debate the decisions. And that's not the way that you arrive at good policy. I was quite critical of the handling of it here in Maine by Janet Mills, because there were parts of the state of Maine where there were zero cases. There were zero cases, and we were treating those parts, those rural parts of the state where it hadn't come, they were locked down. Kids weren't in school. Everything was shut down. We were allowing people to come from New Jersey and other places where there were high incidents of COVID to those rural places to hide out and ultimately bring the virus. But none of the decisions were looking at common sense and were looking at what's in the best interest of the people. It was all based on what Anthony Fauci said, and he was inconsistent. We've seen now what they told us at the beginning when they were worried we were going to run out of masks. They told us masks didn't work. And then it was actually you should wear two masks or three masks, or you need the fitted mask, or like all of the stuff that changed wasn't based on science. It was largely based on fear and control. And I think Donald Trump has a lot of responsibility for how that was handled up front. And I think it would have been, had there been a competitive primary, which this one wasn't, and it was never going to be. Especially from the moment they raided Mar-a-Lago, it was done. Trump was a nominee, and that was a more important reason for people. But had there actually been a DeSantis versus Trump, I think DeSantis had some good points about mistakes Trump made. Now, if you're looking at it now, I think what we're seeing right now with these attacks on Trump, with all of the different indictments, with everything that they're throwing at him, and with them going and trying to seize his assets and then having it reversed by the appeals court, I think we're seeing another moment that's like Mar-a-Lago, which could propel him into the presidency. As people see this play out, and so they're the... It's kind of like the talk shows, the Meet the Press and ABC This Week and all of those shows, Jake Tapper, they all say, oh, like, this is really damaging for Trump. He's going to be in court this whole time. It's going to really hurt him. Like, Trump really wants these cases to be delayed till after the election. I think Trump likes it playing out right now so that people can see how he's being treated and how ridiculous several of these things are. The Alvin Bragg case is ridiculous. The case where they well, just now what they fined him $454 million for. I think most people look at it and it doesn't pass the straight face test. And here is how they're trying to eliminate the guy that they think could win the presidency. All right, there's a lot more in the news. We'll get to some of the stories. I want to talk about Boeing. I want to talk about Israel. But let's take an opportunity for a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll take more of your calls here on The Grace Curley Show. Phone number is 844-500-4242. I am Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I am Aaron Chadbourne sitting in for Grace. We wish her a great spring break. You know, Trump, this whole thing about the money comes at the time that Truth Social is going public. They completed the merger with these funds that they set up, kind of these blank check funds where it allows them to raise money, speculating that they'll be able to buy something to put into it. And in this case, they had the deal to buy Trump Media and Technology, which I had forgot. Remember Devin Nunes, that he left Congress to go and run Trump Media. And so he's going to get a big payday. So it was probably a good gamble and good bet for him. But that's going to go. It's going to start trading tomorrow with the ticker symbol DJT on NASDAQ. Do you think... Would you like, I don't know the profile of someone who invests and chooses to trade in the stock. Do you think the people that are going to be buying that stock, are they people that like Donald Trump, or are they people that just like think there needs to be an alternative?
I think the people who like Trump will buy the smaller stake, but I'm sure everybody who rails against him knows a moneymaker when they see it. So, you know, I bet you the Joe Scarboroughs of the world and the principal journalists, they'll have some small stake in this company, or go through a surrogate financier or something like that.
You think they're going to make new analysts for NBC News disclose whether or not they hold any stake in DJT? They're gonna scrutinize. They're gonna have the divest movement, divest from Donald Trump. Is Truth Social profitable? Like I haven't paid much attention to it. I barely use Twitter or X as it's now called. And Truth Social just seemed like another platform. Like, is it doing well?
I mean, I guess it's doing well enough to get sold for a boatload of money. I'm on there. I'm not a big Twitter user either. So I just kind of go through there and look for stories and stuff that might get filtered elsewhere. But I mean, it seems fine.
Well, it's definitely going to be money at a time in Trump. Although it says that his stock, he can't sell it. It's tied up for a period of 6 months. So he, just like anyone, you know, in those situations, it'll be a lockup period, but it'll be interesting to happen. All right. We want to go to the phone lines now. 844-500-4242. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hi there. This is Jim in Maine.
I love my Maine listeners. Thanks for calling in, Jim.
Sure. I think Tulsi Gabbard is on the short list of vice presidential candidates.
And do you like her? You think that's a good idea?
Yeah. She used to be a Democrat. Now she's a Republican. She's 42 years old. I think that's excellent. She's an Army Reserve officer. She's a surfer. And she used to represent Hawaii's U.S. 2nd District.
Well, thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate the perspective. Here's one of the reasons why I think Tulsi would be a good pick. I'm not sure if she'd be a good vice president, but I think she'd be a good candidate. And it's because she really gets under Kamala Harris's skin. And I think for me, if I'm picking criteria on which to pick a running mate, I think that's one of them. Like, I want someone that's going to annoy Kamala Harris. And you'll remember, Tulsi Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard ran for president against, like, back when Donald Trump ran in, was it 2016? No, 2020, whenever Biden ran. So 2020, she ran when Kamala Harris was a candidate. And they debated, and she went after her several times on the debate stage. She challenged her when she was a prosecutor in California. She challenged her on marijuana, and she challenged her on several different things. And you can tell Kamala Harris does not like Tulsi Gabbard. And I think that's worth it for me. Maybe I should, like, I think I should be motivated by the person that would do the best job as vice president. Now, vice president is a job without much real responsibility. It's really dependent on what the president tells you your job is. Technically, they're the president of the Senate. So I guess that is one job. And in a closely divided Senate, they got to cast the tie-breaking votes. And Tulsi Gabbard could do that. I think she'd be on the right side of it most of the time. She fills in for Tucker Carlson, or she did before Tucker wasn't on Fox anymore. So I guess she's moved her position. But she was always more of a libertarian. She was kind of that libertarian lane of the party. I know a lot of the libertarians in Maine were supporting her back when he was the candidate. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out and whether she is. I don't know. I think she's also a candidate, though. Like, remember when it was rumored that John McCain might pick Joe Lieberman, who was a Democrat? I think, like, these are some of those cases that sometimes play themselves out. Like, the political pundits like them. Trump, I think, likes her. She's been talking to him. I wouldn't be surprised if she were, like, someone, if he were to have a second term, she might take a role in his cabinet. But I don't think she'll be vice president. But, again, I'm okay with picking someone based on how much they're going to annoy Kamala Harris. Because I don't think Kamala Harris should be on the ticket. I don't think she should have ever been on the ticket. I did think so at one point. I'll tell you, before I had been exposed to her as much, on paper and based on her career, I thought she was going to be a much stronger candidate and a much more competent person than she turned out to be. But now there's no one who, with a straight face, having watched Kamala Harris as vice president for these last several years, could actually look at her and say, hey, yeah, that's a good choice. What is she? What she's been good at? She's been good insurance for Joe Biden that no one's going to invoke the 25th Amendment. They don't even talk about it. With Donald Trump, they were talking about the 25th Amendment, I don't know, daily. I mean, you'd hear all this, oh, like, secretly behind the scenes, the cabinet. Now you're in a position where the president actually is infirm and arguably mentally compromised, and they don't talk about it at all. Why? Because the alternative, Kamala Harris, she's a great insurance policy. She makes sure that the cabinet's not going to oust him, because then they'd have her, and nobody wants that. Nobody thinks that would be a better thing for the country. Now, again, maybe we should be picking vice president based on someone who could be a good president if the president were ever not to be able to do the job. Again, for the Republicans, I'm okay. I'm okay if the criteria you want to use is someone that's really going to annoy Kamala Harris on the debate stage. Although, I don't know if there will even be debates. I mean, at this rate, with Trump not participating in the debates, the Republican side, Biden has indicated he might not debate Trump. Maybe we won't have it, but hopefully. I would pay good money to see Tulsi Gabbard, Kamala Harris, mano a mano on the debate stage. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, Aaron Chadbourne. Stick around. We'll be right back.